Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native land of China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades before bringing the ministry to the West in 1962. The Life Study of the Bible is a significant contribution to the heritage of Bible exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring short portions of this spoken ministry to you from the Life Study of Philippians on today's broadcast. Before we join today's program, we'd like to offer you our free monthly newsletter, The Hearing of Faith. To receive your free copy, just call 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That number again is 1-888-543-3788. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, the Apostle Paul emphasizes what he calls the out resurrection. Verse 11 says, "If by any means I may attain to the out resurrection from among the dead." Paul's endeavor was to attain to this outstanding resurrection. Verse 12 goes on, "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if also I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus." Here, Paul admits that he had not yet attained the out resurrection, but he continued to pursue that he may lay hold of it. For this out resurrection, Christ had laid hold of him, and now Paul's desire was to lay hold of the out resurrection. That's our fellowship today, the out resurrection that Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 3. We're very happy Francis Ball has joined us to be a part of the fellowship. Francis, good to have you here.
Again, I'm thankful to be here. Thank you.
We're going to talk about how to obtain Christ by attaining to this out resurrection. Maybe you could pick up the point of Paul's pursuing Christ with the goal of the out resurrection that we mentioned already.
Well, this is marvelous light, I feel, that comes out in this message, because even though I've read that chapter a number of times before I ever heard this ministry, but when I heard this, I got a very deep impression that this goal should occupy every Christian. We should have the same desire, pursuit, as the Apostle Paul had, and this should be our desire, to attain to a kind of resurrection here that we're going to find out is not exactly like we usually think of resurrection, just getting back from the dead.
Right.
It's not just that. There's much more to it than that.
Of course, resurrection is a big part of the New Testament in general, and there is a general resurrection. There's, of course, the resurrection of Christ that's quite specific. Then there's another general resurrection. But this one that Paul is putting his finger on for our benefit is very specific, very particular, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. It's a very particular kind of view. It's even called the out-resurrection, which may be kind of a new term to many of our listeners. This really means the outstanding resurrection, something more than just being alive from the dead physically.
Well, let's get on with today's life study, touching the verses in chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And again, the stress today upon the outstanding resurrection that Paul presents. I hope our listeners will all stay with us for a new view, Francis, as you said, of resurrection. Here's Witness Lee.
Chapter 3, all these 4 verses, 11 through 14, they are just stressing one thing. This one thing is the out resurrection. Paul endeavored, Paul chased, even pursued toward this goal. And this goal is just outstanding resurrection. The outstanding resurrection is the main thing that is stressed in these few verses. Verse 11 says that I may attain to the out resurrection. Then verse 12 says not that I have obtained already. No, I haven't obtained this outer resurrection yet. Oh, I'm already perfected, but I pursue. Pursue what? No doubt, still outer resurrection. This is the subject in these few verses. Christ laid hold of me for the purpose that I may obtain this out resurrection. Both that and which in this same verse, both words refer to the out resurrection. That I may lay hold of what I have been laid hold of. For this out resurrection, I have been laid hold already. So you see, the out resurrection is the subject and the goal in these few verses. Why Paul uses this expression, out resurrection? According to Paul's vision and according to his experience, he realized that whatever God intends to attain to in this universe is altogether something new in resurrection, and not in the resurrection in the common sense. The very resurrection that Paul is pursuing is something altogether out of the old creation and altogether into the new creation. This extra resurrection out of the old creation and into the new creation, Paul calls it out resurrection.
Francis, not all of the translations of the Bible really correctly got this word, but nonetheless, in the Greek language, there's a definite difference here between out resurrection that we see in Philippians 3, verse 11, and just general resurrection. Compare these two. Talk a little bit about the differences.
Yeah, there is quite a difference here between what is commonly called resurrection. The common meaning of resurrection is that something dies and comes to life again. And this defines kind of a resurrection that Lazarus in John chapter 11 experienced.
Right.
He died, he was dead, even buried, and even 4 days he'd even begun to stink.
Right.
But the Lord came to that gravesite, and you remember, the Lord called out when they removed the stone. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out. A dead man came out.
Right.
But that resurrection was not this kind of resurrection that's referred to by Paul in Philippians. That resurrection is a common thought, but it doesn't give the divine life. Lazarus died again. He went back to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of resurrection is not what is considered here as the out-resurrection or the outstanding resurrection. This is something to be delivered out of one realm into another realm. So I think we'll get more and more light from Brother Lee as we hear why this kind of resurrection is really the goal of Paul's endeavor, his pursuit, and all that he desired of Christ was to attain this out-resurrection.
Yeah, he gave us a glimpse here right at the end of his speaking. I don't know if everyone caught it, but he said this extra resurrection means out of the old creation and into the new creation. That's really a window as to where we're going today, isn't it?
That's it, I believe.
Francis, I think many Bible readers have read this portion of the word before, but as you mentioned, never taken notice of the difference here in this word resurrection, this special resurrection. Let's go back to Witness Lee. He will give us this time his experience of discovering this revelation.
To understand the Bible is not an easy thing. You need the vision, and you need the experience, and you need the text. You have to realize such a book was written by such a writer in such a way. All the wordings should be very carefully considered. You shouldn't say Paul used any in different words. This is the writing that unveils God's economy in its depth. This is why people may read this book, may read these few verses again and again and again. I must tell you, these verses, got exposed to my eyes 55 years ago, from 1925. But I never got to the depth of the real meaning of the writer's thought. He wrote this way with a deep thought. I must point out to you, according to grammar, what is mentioned in verse 11 is the goal of what is mentioned in verse 10. In verse 10 says, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, comma, if by any means that I may attain to the out resurrection. One is the knowing, the experiencing, the enjoying of Christ. This is in verse 10. Verse 10 gives us the knowing, the experiencing, the enjoying of Christ. Then verse 11 gives us the purpose, the goal. Actually, verse 11 is not only the goal of verse 10, but also of verse 8 and verse 9. Let me go back to verse 8. That I may gain him and be found in him, then to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being confirmed to his death, that I may attain to the out resurrection. This is according to grammar, right? You have to interpret this way. And you have to understand Paul's writing this way in verse 10. Nearly all the versions used in order that.
Yeah, he makes a good case, Francis, that we nearly have to understand this passage in this way. I love the phrases that he brought out here in this portion, these verses 8 through 11, that I may gain him and be found in him, then to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the out resurrection. But these precious terms by Paul were all for a purpose. Talk about this purpose, Francis.
Well, this purpose is far beyond the concept of most of us as Christians. In our natural thought, we would never realize what he's talking about here, because this is really an out resurrection that is attainable while we're living on this earth. Most of us are thinking about out resurrection. That's going to be after we die, and they will experience an out resurrection. Of course, that's true. There is such a resurrection. But this out resurrection is an outstanding resurrection to which Paul was aiming, and what he was pursuing, what he really wanted to experience. And it's the kind of life that just lives by the divine life in the human life. It's the life the Lord Jesus lived. When he was here on earth, he was God, he was man. He lived in a human body, but he lived the divine life. And he said himself, I am the resurrection, while he was still on the earth, before he went to the cross. So this resurrection is that kind of outstanding resurrection of living the divine life without remaining in the old creation. And by that I mean we don't live by the old creation. That's not so easy to understand, I know, and I'm not maybe making it so plain as I should, but we have to realize that it's possible to be a nice person, to be a good person, even to be a so-called holy person with good conduct, and still be in the old creation. But what Paul is seeking to attain to is this out-resurrection that will live a life in the resurrection that Christ had accomplished when he died and rose again. And that resurrection life will never die again, like Lazarus did.
Right.
That resurrection is eternal. I don't know how to make it more understandable, but this is a marvelous, marvelous goal for a Christian to have.
You did say something I'd like to come back to because I think it helps, pointing to his act of resurrecting Lazarus and contrasting that to the fact, as you just said, he spoke, I am the resurrection. Resurrection can be an act or a deed of power, but him being the resurrection is really, as you said, the reality of this out-resurrection, when we're experiencing him in that level, in that expression and manifestation, his living out of us as the one who is resurrection, not just the one who has the power to resurrect, then we're touching the out-resurrection, aren't we?
That's right. I used to think that Paul's desire was to be early resurrected, you know, before the general resurrection from the dead. But this was not what is intended here.
Right.
His intention is to gain this outstanding resurrection as the living that he would have while he was still on this earth.
Francis, let's go on. We want to consider the goal of the out-resurrection. To know the goal, we really need to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. We must know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, and we must know him by being conformed to his death. All three of these are in the same context in Philippians 3, verses 8 through 11. Let's join Witness Lee once again for our final portion today.
The goal is to attain to the out-resurrection. How to attain to this? You must know Christ in the power of his resurrection. And you must know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And you must know him by being conformed to his death in incarnation. The Lord Jesus put on the human nature. Was that body the Lord Jesus put on a part of new creation or a part of old creation? He lived a new creation life with an old creation body in an old creation environment. But while he was living this way, he was dying to that old creation thing. Until one day, Satan and all his helpers did something very good to complete the death of Jesus' old creation body. So that body was crucified and put into death absolutely and actually. And that old creation body was buried in a tomb for 3 days. And then after 3 days, that body was resurrected. Then this very incarnated and resurrected Christ became a seed, S-E-D, that has been sown to us. It is by this that we may attain to the out resurrection. It is by this that we may attain a goal, that we will be fully out of the old creation and fully resurrected into the new creation. God rescued us out of all the things of the old creation and put us on a race that we have to run toward all the things of the new creation.
Francis, I like what he brought out here at the very end. I would just invite you to comment on this race that we are running, a race that's taking us out of the old creation and bringing us into the new.
That is really our race. And by that, I don't mean the way we were born.
Right.
But that's the race that we're in to attain what Paul was talking about here, to be in the new creation. You know, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." And even in Galatians, Paul mentions that the conduct doesn't matter. It's not the matter of conduct and not the matter of right or wrong. It's neither circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not religion or non-religion, but a new creation is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in this new creation life is to experience the out-resurrection. This is what the Lord Jesus lived in his human body. And if we will live that life in this race, seeking always to enjoy him, to know the power of his resurrection, know the fellowship of his suffering, and to be conformed to his death. This is really what will bring us into this knowing Christ as in the out resurrection.
Let's go back and look at that phrase. He said he was living a new creation life with an old creation body in an old creation environment. And while he was living that new creation life, death was being applied to his old creation body.
That's really the point we need most of all, because this is where we get blocked in our pursuit, because we don't want to experience the dying of the old man, the old creation. But this is the kind of life the Lord Jesus lived his whole lifetime.
Right.
And he was always dying. He was, of course, God, and he was living in that sense, but he was always dying to his old creation body. So if we have this kind of attitude, we are dying, participating in the death of Christ, being conformed to his death, then the resurrection life will be lived out, and we'll be living in the new creation.
Francis, that's all of the things that are included in this section, as you just said, that he would gain him and be found in him, knowing him in the power of his resurrection, and also knowing him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And if there's not part B, we really don't get the full reality of part A there, do we?
That's right. We must have the full enjoyment of Christ in all these aspects.
Well, Francis, we've got a minute left. Let me just invite our listeners in a little different way today. You and I were out in the hallway a moment ago, and we were just paid a visit by a dear brother in the Lord who's been a listener to the program for a couple of years now, and came all the way out here to California from Texas in order to pay a greeting and to meet the ones that he's been hearing on the broadcast. Of course, that was a delight to us and everyone serving in the radio section.
It surely was.
I would just take the opportunity. Most of our listeners are not going to have the chance to come out here and personally greet us, though we would invite you to whenever you're in Southern California. We'd love to have you drop by Living Stream Ministry, and if you'll contact us before you come, we'll give you directions and tell you how to get here. We have a lot of things that we would be very glad to share with our listeners. If you're not able to make it out here in person, though, you can surely call us toll-free, and all of these contacts, whether you visit, whether you write to us, whether you call us on the phone or send us an email, each one means a great deal to us. We treasure them, and we try to keep track of them best that we can. Because this is really our food, so to speak, that keeps us going as we prepare these broadcasts each and every day. Do you agree with this, Francis?
I surely do. That time with this brother was very, very encouraging to see what can happen when people just listen to the radio and pick up a program that gives them some light.
Of course, many people get saved that way. He had been saved for many years, but he had just found, as he was describing it, new revelation and seeing more and more, getting more enlightened with these broadcasts. And he's been a brother in the Lord for many, many years. So these stories are marvelous to us, and we surely appreciate it when you take time to share them with us. Let me give you the toll-free number and once again invite you, please do contact us whenever you're able. The toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. And as long as I extended the invitation, I would point out we're not very far from Disneyland. And if you happen to be out here on a family outing, we're just up the road. And if you'll call us, we'll give you the directions and tell you how to come by and visit us here at Living Stream Ministry. So, we'll be back tomorrow with another life study. We're going to touch again this matter of the out-resurrection as the prize and the goal of our pursuit. Please join us for that. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
In Philippians 1:20, the Apostle Paul said, "In nothing I will be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body." How can Christ be magnified? How can he be made greater than he already is? Although he is great and worthy of all praise and honor, he still needs to be magnified in our experience of him. He needs to be enlarged in our practical daily living, and according to Paul's word in Philippians 1:19, such a practical experience is our salvation. In a series of messages given in 1978, Witness Lee conducted a detailed study of Paul's epistle to the Philippians, revealing its emphasis on the experience of Christ. These messages have been published in the book, The Experience of Christ, which is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or You can order a copy from Living Stream Ministry by calling 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Also, if you're calling us for the first time, we will be glad to send you a free issue of the Stream magazine, a quarterly publication featuring many articles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. In recent issues, we've covered such topics as the assurance of salvation, regeneration, and God's purpose and His plan. So for both the Hearing of Faith newsletter and for a free issue of the Stream magazine, call us today at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788.